Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So John 17, I'm calling this message today, Stay Prayed Up. And the reason is because I think it's really important for us to always stay ready and to pray and also to follow Jesus' example. So Jesus' most famous prayer in the Bible is the Lord's Prayer. You guys probably have that one memorized. I mean, there's a lot of people that have the Lord's Prayer memorized that don't even, like, believe in Jesus just because they've heard it so many times in so many places, right? So the Lord's Prayer is his most famous prayer, and that wasn't even Jesus necessarily just praying. It was his disciples asking him, how do we pray? And then Jesus responded, oh, this is kind of a model for how to pray, all right? But the Lord's Prayer isn't in the book of John. It's in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so most of the time, we call them the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because there's a lot of similar stuff going on. I have one particular Bible where it has all the passages, the sections all lined up. So I'm able to read, oh, here's the way that Matthew described that event. Here's the way Mark described it. Here's the way Luke described it. And it's kind of interesting to hear the different perspectives. Well, John, for whatever reason, didn't talk about the Lord's Prayer in his book. I don't know whether he just wasn't there listening. He wasn't as interested. It didn't have as great of an impact on him. But I will tell you, this prayer in John 17 is not in the other three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So John highlights this prayer of Jesus kind of just before he's going to be crucified. And this prayer, I'm going to say, just must have had a major impact on John, who is known as, well, maybe self-proclaimed, beloved, best friend of Jesus, right? He thought he was very much loved. And when Jesus prayed what is called the high priestly prayer, I think it had a major impact on John, and he felt like this prayer needs to be recorded. Okay? So we're gonna take a look at this. This is a lot is said about the heart of Jesus in the way that he prays. So I'm gonna read just a little bit of it. And then we're going to talk about it. So John 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. To start with, Jesus prays for himself. He starts out praying for himself. And I like that. I think that's not a bad place to start when you're praying. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through my life. And so what Jesus was saying here was, I know that I'm about ready to give up my life for the world. I know he knows his hour is coming. When he says the hour is coming, that means when he does the thing that he was brought to earth to do, which was to sacrifice his life for the sins of mankind. So he's kind of like, I think, trying to get himself almost like mentally, emotionally, spiritually prepared for this thing that he's about to do. Because keep in mind, while he's fully God, he's also still fully man. So he's a human being that's about ready to do a really, really big thing, sacrificing his life, death on a cross, the most brutal kind of death you could possibly experience. And he says, and we see what he thinks about it with how he prays. He says, God, I pray that you'd be glorified through what I'm about to do. Lord, would you be glorified through my sacrifice? Would I bring you glory? So that's the first thing that he does. He prays for himself. And I think that that says, oh, he's getting his heart in the right place. So when we stay prayed up, I think we need to start with getting our hearts in the right place, right? Before the Lord. Lord, would you be glorified through me? Through my life, I want you to be glorified. Then the second thing he does, verses 6 to 19, Jesus prayed for his disciples. And he says in verse 9, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And he talks about how he's praying for their protection. He prays that they would be set apart, that they would be set apart for the Lord. He says, I do not ask, verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I love that sanctified in truth, that is set apart, and I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them while they're in it. So again, it says Jesus isn't asking for his disciples to have a perfect life, for them to be free of any sort of suffering or pain. He knew what they were about to do, right? The early church was incredible, but they also experienced a lot of persecution, a lot of sacrifice, you know, death in all sorts of horrible ways for their faith in Jesus. But he says, I pray for their protection, that they will do the things that God intends for them to do, that they will witness, that they will heal the sick, and all of the things that they were purposed to do as they shared the gospel with the world. And he prayed that they would be set apart for God's work. And then the third thing that he prayed, Jesus prayed for all future believers. So at first I'm thinking, okay, so he's praying for himself and then he's praying for the disciples. But then he takes it a step further and he prays for all those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory, this is verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So Jesus prays here for all future believers. So that includes us, right? Because we are now believers, okay? He prayed for all future believers, for all those who would come to believe. He prayed for us to have unity. He prayed that we would have God's love. And he prayed that we would see his glory. Okay, so these are some really important things to think about. He prayed for us to have unity. He prayed that we would have God's love. And he prayed that we would see his glory. So that's kind of what we're going to lean into this morning. I like Jesus's example. I love it. This prayer is not as catchy as the Lord's Prayer. It's not as easy to memorize. I can understand why we don't have this one memorized. But what Jesus prayed for us, his church, I'm going to take that, even that one he prayed for his disciples, that they would be set apart. That we would be set apart, that we would have unity, that we would have God's love, and that we would see his glory. And I think that a lot of the time, we're not necessarily praying the heart of God. I will admit, I'm the first one to admit, I pray, God, would you please make me safe? Would you make me have a nice house? God, would you keep my car running? You know, these are like day-to-day things. And I think God cares about this stuff. I really do. I really believe that God is practical. I grew up with a mom who would pray for a parking place when we would like drive up to some place that she thought was crowded. And you know what? I kind of laughed, but I always kind of felt like God provided a parking spot. You know, like I have this thing where I feel like God cares about the little details that we care about just because he's a good dad. He's a good father. And he cares about us. But the thing is I think we spend a lot of time praying for things that aren't really so important. And remember, there's a scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I don't think in my head like that God is not caring about the little details of our lives, because I do believe that he does. But I think what he's wanting us to pray more is like the way that he prayed. I think this example here in John 17 is Jesus saying, pray that you would be set apart for the Lord. Pray that there would be unity among the believers. Pray that we would have God's love, that we'd be known for God's love, and pray that we would, like, pray that we would see his glory. I mean, I don't know if I pray to see God's glory all the time. I might be a little intimidated by it. Like, Lord, let your glory fall on me. That kind of sounds like a lot. But I think God wants to show his glory in our lives. I think he wants to display it. He wouldn't have said this in his prayer if it's not what he wanted for us. And yet so often we in the church, and I'm not saying just our church, but I'm just saying believers in general, we've been not so set apart. You know, I think we've been, when I was a teenager, I felt like everyone was interested in blending in as much as possible with the world. Like, let's not show that we're any different. We're just the same. And I understand that we want to relate to the world that we are in. But we're also set apart. And that means that there's going to be some stuff about your life that might look a little different than some other people. And that's okay. Are we the most unified in the church? I don't know. I think we're pretty divided in a lot of ways. And I know that our church has specifically, we've been really committed to trying to pursue unity and loving all different types of people. And I'm talking about, like, I'm not just talking about looking different on the outside. I'm talking about even, like, financial status. I'm talking about things like first language. I'm talking about age, young, old. I think that we need to learn to be more comfortable with, like, we are the body of Christ, right? And so what if we prayed something like, Lord, would you make us more unified with the body of Christ? Like, are there other believers in Jesus that we can connect with even in our community? You know, yeah, we're Foursquare. Yeah. But we just believe in Jesus. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. And so can we be like the sort of people who have open arms to anybody that loves Jesus? I think that that's something that we want to pray for, unity in the body of Christ, that we wouldn't be so known for our divisions, you know? But that we'd be known for what we have in common. And I think that if we focus on that, that will bring Jesus a lot of joy. I think that that's what he wants for us. And then he prayed that we would have God's love. And this one is very difficult because I talk about this a lot because it's so easy to love the people that love us back. So easy to love the people that are encouraging to us. It's so easy to love the people that see our positive things and not the ones, though, that see our negative stuff or the people that question us or doubt us or are difficult or rude or hateful. Like, there's a, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole range of things of people that we encounter, and we want to be known by our love. You know, I remember one time several years ago, we were at a pastor's convention, and we were like kind of shocked. I think Matt was particularly shocked because he didn't grow up in the church. He was shocked at how rude some of the pastors were. Even things like just walking around, getting on elevators, they were kind of like pushy and rude. And we were like, wait a minute, that's not very loving. We're supposed to love. We're supposed to love people. And so sometimes that means slowing down and actually praying it. God, would you help me to love? Because honestly, some people are hard to love. Can you admit that? Yeah, it's true. I mean, we have people in our own family that are hard to love. In fact, probably the people in your family are the hardest ones to love sometimes. You love them, then you hate them, then you love them. But to pray God's heart is to pray, God, that we would be known for our love. And it's not based on what people can give to us, what they do for us, because that's not really love. I don't know. Love is this thing that God puts inside of us that enables us to do things that we would not normally do on our own and to see people the way that he sees them. And then that last one where he says, I pray that they would see my glory. We pray for his glory, that his glory would show up. And I don't know how much time we spend praying for God to show his glory in our lives, but here's my theory, is that if we would pray like this, if we would pray like how Jesus prays, then we would start to see a shift in a lot of our lives. So that scripture, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first God's way, and then all these other things will be added unto you. That the little things, those little details that we really care about, those things work themselves out when we're making God's stuff a priority. Like, we can really trust him with it because he's really, really, really good. He's so good. And I think sometimes we can struggle to trust him, to believe that he really has our best interest at heart. But he shows us, even just in the way that he's praying for us, he's praying that we would be set apart, praying for us to have unity, praying for us to have God's love and to see his glory. I think he's praying good stuff all over us. He's praying good stuff over his people, over his church, over believers everywhere. He's saying, this is what I want you to look like. So if you say, like, what is God's vision for what his church would look like? Like, what does God desire? Well, I think that this kind of says it. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to have God's love, and he wants us to see his glory. That means, I believe that means that as we are asking for God's love, as we are seeking his glory, we get to experience things like unity. And as we make it a choice to pray God's heart and God's ways, then we find ourselves set apart. Because that in and of itself, I think, is kind of difficult to do. A life set apart, I think that's very intimidating for most of us. But I think as I pursue God's heart, then I find over time, oh, wait, I'm praying the things that God cares about. And now I'm wanting to do the things that God cares about. And I'm less interested in doing the things that he doesn't care about. The things that actually are the opposite of what he's looking for from his believers. And so it's like, again, seeking first God's kingdom, his righteousness, his ways, and then all those other things work themselves out. But when we find ourselves pursuing kind of external stuff and coming to God, like, you know, for very superficial things, then I think we're missing the point. Like, yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, God is our provider. Yes, God wants to take care of us. But he wants us to be a people who are really committed to the things that he values, to the things that he really cares about. And so I kind of feel like this is a time for us to pray together. And I'm saying, because this is, this right here, John 17, this is a blueprint for the church, what God wants us to look like. All right? He wants us, we see how he wants us to look. We know he wants us to be unified. We know that he wants us to be loving. And yet, so often we're known as not being loving. Oh, God, forgive us for when we're not loving. And help us to be a better reflection of you. And I believe that God wants to really just show his glory. And as his glory shows up, I think that that people are drawn to that. And people are like, I want to experience that. And so, like, when you tell the testimony, when you share the story of how God showed up in your life, that encourages somebody else, and they're drawn to it, and they're like, I don't fully understand it, but I want that. I want that in my life. So I want to ask Kyle and Bianca to come back up. I want you to play that song, Run to the Father, again, because really we need to come before the Lord. We're here in this space for the summer. And I feel like this is a really good opportunity for us to just kind of consecrate our hearts and our spirits before the Lord, that we stay committed to praying the things that God prays, that we pray like Jesus prayed. And like I said, the Lord's Prayer, that's a good prayer. And Jesus prayed a lot of good prayers. But this one's really special. Because this showed Jesus' focus and his priorities. And when he was about ready to go through a lot of pain and suffering, he wasn't saying, you know, I'm scared, I'm mad, I'm angry. He said, just, God, would you be glorified in my life? Would you be glorified in me? And then for us, what he prays for us, like, I feel like this is something that we want to pray for our church, that we would be known for our unity, that we would be known for our love, that we would be known as set apart people, that we would be known as a place where God's glory shows up.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.